Well, as we begin 2026 together, I'll be starting a new sermon series that's going to carry forward just about the whole year. How many of you remember Casey Kasem's Top 40 Countdown? It's a dated reference. You have to be under the age of 40. Well, we're going to do a countdown of the best and top Bible stories all throughout the year. So why not begin at the beginning? So I would invite you to join with me as I read from Genesis chapter 1. This is part of the creation story and the best part of creation, which is God creating us as human beings. So follow along as I read from Genesis 1, 26 through 31. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." God said, "See, I have given you every plant-yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit, you shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As I mentioned, we're beginning this sermon series. We're going to count down the top Bible stories. And I just did, really, the creation story back in the fall, because remember we did that series on Unshakable Hope by Max Lucado. And one of the lessons was you are stamped, or you were stamped with God's image, which was part of the creation story. So didn't want to do that again so soon. So we're going to look at the creation story. We're going to look at what it means to be made in God's image, but we're going to do it a little bit differently through the eyes of the prophet Jeremiah. So I invite you to follow along as I read from Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 through 6. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. "Come, go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words." So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. The vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel as seemed good to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me, "Can I not do with you, O house of Israel, just as this potter has done, says the Lord? Just like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel." And friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? God, as we embark on this journey, we pray that you would open up our hearts and eyes and ears to receive that which you are giving to us, so that we might follow you more faithfully today, tomorrow, and into this new year. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, back when I was in middle school, I was in an art class, and one of the projects that we had to do was to make a clay pot. Now, I am not the handiest guy around. Lisa will attest to that. My idea of car maintenance is if there's something rattling under the hood, just turn up the radio louder so you don't have to hear it, right? I'm also not the arts and crafts guy. And so I want you to know that I struggled, and I mean I struggled mightily, to try to shape a clay pot at the potter's wheel. And I started out thinking, well, I'll make it something easy. Maybe I'll just make an ashtray, even though nobody smoked in our household, which made no sense at all. And so that would have been too small for a candy dish. And so then I went to like a pot, but then that seemed too big and too complicated. So I just went with a simple cup. Well, by the time I got to that, it was awfully lopsided and had crazy rough edges. I got the leftover colors, so it was bright pink on the outside and highlighter yellow on the inside. Colors that do not go together by any cup, pot, or any vessel you can think of. And I got a C on that project, which I think was probably being very generous on the part of the teacher. Well, maybe I shouldn't feel so bad, because can you think of an activity or a craft where the worker gets more involved with the material than that of a potter? And so envision with me, if you can, a real potter, not one like me, a real potter who's got his hands and arms covered with clay, and that clay is spattered on his clothing and on the apron. We read earlier at the beginning of our worship service from Isaiah, which was part of our call to worship. O Lord, you are our Father, and we are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Isaiah says that God is our Father, but he's also our potter, which means God is hands-on. God gets involved with the clay that he is working with. Now, one question that we have to ask from the jump is, well, what does a potter do? First of all, and if you have your outline, you can follow that sermon outline. And then sort of new to 2026, I put some questions on the bottom for you to kind of ruminate on as you leave here and go throughout your week. But what does a potter do? First of all, a potter uses his hands to make pots. Standing before you this morning is a pot. A just under 6 foot, about 188 pound, New Jersey born, half Italian, half Dutch, 63 year old pot. Some of you may think it's a cracked pot. But the reality is our bodies are a lot like pots. And you know what? That seems to jibe with what I have said at just about every funeral that I have ever done. Last Monday, after a funeral service here in the sanctuary for Florence Metzler, a beloved, longtime member here at Chestnut Level, we proceeded to the cemetery for a brief committal service. And I stood with other mourners at her grave, and as always, I said those words, "We commit her body to the ground, earth to earth, ashes to ashes, and dust to dust." And I just want you to know that I was being a little bit more than just poetic, because I was also being biblically accurate. We are clay in the Lord's hands. Well, you know, you can tell a lot about a potter by the pot he makes, because we are all of us, unique, original pots. No two pots are alike. And if you don't believe me, I'm going to prove it to you right now by doing a little experiment with you. I would like for you to turn and look into the face of the person sitting next to you. If there's no one there, you can look at me. Now, I think we would agree that we have similar features. We may even share the same blood type. Mine happens to be O positive, but unless it's a family member, you don't share the same DNA. And kind of like snowflakes falling from the sky, no two fingerprints are alike, are they? Instead, each of us is a unique pot that God has put a label on. And trust me when I say this, it doesn't say made in China. It says handcrafted by the creator of the universe. Think about it. God took mud and made us into a masterpiece. Now, the bad news, and there's bad news, is that these bodies are what they are. What you see is what you get. But doesn't it seem like the world pays way too much attention to what is on the outside of the pot? How big is the pot? How durable is the pot? How old is the pot? What's the shape of the pot? What color is the pot? How beautifully decorated is the pot? Well, as I look out over all of you here this morning, I see many beautifully glazed, impressively decorated pots here on God's shelf. But the potter cares more than what is just on the outside of the pot. The potter, and this is in your outline, cares most about what goes on the inside. A pot's value is based on how it can be used and what it holds. And God, trust me now, God wants to get his hands on us to mold us, shape us, and even reshape us so that we can contain the image of God's Son, who is Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's kind of like that praise song that we sing, which is in our hymn book. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. The only way a pot becomes useful is when the potter gets his hands deep down inside that pot and creates the appropriate shape for its use. To put it simply, God made us pots with a purpose. God did not give us the Bible just to tell us about the Jebusites, the Amorites, the Hittites, and the Termites. God gave us his holy word to reshape our lives into the image of his Son. And when God gets into our lives, he spins that potter's wheel, shaping within us the image of his Son through his holy word. Now, did you know that the phrase image of God is actually a potter's term? Because whenever a potter makes a bowl or a pot or some other vessel, he stamps it with his trademark so that it would bear his image. In other words, it would have its very own uniqueness. And so it is with you and me. So it is with the church. Listen to what the Christian author Leonard Sweet once wrote. He says, "The strength of the church is not the strength of its institutions, but the authenticity of its witness." God wants us to grow. God wants us to mature. God wants us to become fully devoted followers of his Son so that we can live as Jesus lived and love as Jesus loved. Friends, to put it simply, we are God's chosen vessels to carry the good news to all people. God did not design us to just sit on a shelf and look pretty someplace. God made us to be a pot that is an authentic witness which carries the contents of the gospel here in the southern end of Lancaster County and all throughout the world. Now, unfortunately, a lot of people may grow older, but they may never grow up. And these are the people who we would call spiritual babies their whole lives. It reminds me what Tony Campolo, the pastor author, once said. He said, "We sing 15 verses of Just As I Am. We come down the aisle just as we are, and we leave just as we were," which means we don't change. The process of becoming like Jesus Christ is called discipleship, and it takes an entire lifetime. Nobody gets zapped into Christ's likeness. There's no such thing as an instant disciple. Even the Apostle Paul, after his dramatic Damascus Road conversion experience, still had a lot of spiritual growing up to do. So it's going to take the rest of our lives for God to build character in us, those character traits and qualities of his Son. And God wants for you and me and this church, Chestnut Level, to be a Christ-like fit vessel for his use. But if you remember the movie, Houston, we have a problem. And you know what it is. God has rebellious clay on his hands. God has to deal with independent, self-willed, stubborn, arrogant clay that has a mind of its own. It reminds me of one of those Disney movie classics, Pinocchio. Lonely Geppetto picks up this old discarded table leg, takes out a carving knife, and he makes a little doll that he wishes were a boy. And as Geppetto starts carving that doll, when he gets to the eyes, they suddenly fly open. And these eyes dart mischievously around the room, and you get the feeling that there's something about those eyes that if only Geppetto could get beyond his own giddiness, he'd take that old table leg and he'd throw it away before it was too late. But he continues carving at the table leg, and he makes an arm. And as soon as that arm is done, it reaches down, snatches the wig off Geppetto's head, and flings it across the room. And Geppetto, like a reluctant father, looks down at that table leg and says, "You are not yet finished, and already you are a bad boy." You know, I wonder if God was thinking about Adam and Eve in that way when he created them in the Garden of Eden. I wonder if God thought, "You are not yet finished, and already you are bad children." Because think about it, just one chapter later, after being the pinnacle of all of creation, Adam and Eve sin because they want to be like God. Paradise was not good enough for them, and their pride got the best of them. And then one chapter after that, Cain kills Abel. He kills his own brother. Now, making our situation even more drastic is once clay is thrown into the kiln and then fired in excess of something like 1700 degrees, the particles of that clay bind together. And all of that intense heat wrings the water out of it, and the clay hardens. And guess what? It can never be changed again. Okay, now I know why it is so important for the potter to get his hands on us before it is too late. I play a lot of disc golf these days. I used to play a lot of regular golf. I don't very much anymore, but I like golf, but I was never, ever very good at it. And I want you to know that I've picked up a lot of bad habits in my golf game over the years. Well, first of all, I'm left-handed. And you know what they say about left-handed people? We're not in our right mind. In fact, I've had people say, "Hey, you're standing on the wrong side of the ball." Well, I've got other bad habits. I grip the club way too tight, like I'm going to choke the life out of it. My backswing is way too fast. My stance has me off balance. And I always seem to be pulling my head up when I go to hit the ball. You know what happens when you pull your head up when you hit the ball? You top it, and it goes about 30 feet. I'm afraid that a golf potter will have gotten to me way too late because I'm already hardened, set in my ways, and resistant to change. But you know what God can do? God can shape us through our personal experiences. Back when I was serving a church in North Carolina, there was a woman in Wake Forest and in the church that I served named Teresa Hale. She had gone through a terrible automobile accident when she was just a young child. She lost both her parents, and she herself sustained serious injuries, broken bones, cuts, bruises. She even lost one eye. And then, as you might imagine, there was the incredible mental and emotional toll that it took on her. Well, by God's grace and through his healing presence, God allowed that tragic experience to become a triumph in her helping people, because she went on to school, and then she went for more schooling, and she became a licensed physical therapist, later opening Allied Health, a very successful practice in Wake Forest, North Carolina, and one that helped me along the way through my various injuries. Here's the point. Through it all, God gives us these experiences to shape us into the kinds of people he wants us to be. Now, to be fair, sometimes it hurts. It hurts when God jams his fingers into our clay. And we can feel like we're getting vertigo when we're spinning on the potter's wheel. So we've got to be able to stay moist and pliable in order for God to work on us. We have to be willing to to use a different metaphor, to shift our lives into neutral and allow God to grab a hold of the steering wheel of our lives. Not my will, but thy will be done. A singer by the name of Sarah Groves sings a song called Less Like Scars, which is a song about how our troubles make us more like Jesus. This is what she sings. In your hands, the pain and hurt look less like scars and more like character. Less like a prison, more like my room. It's less like a casket, more like a womb. Less like dying, more like transcending. Less like fear, less like an ending. And I feel you here, picking up the pieces. Friends, God even uses the trouble spots of our lives to teach us to trust him. And sometimes God will let our lives be bathed in tears in order to keep us moist and pliable on the potter's wheel. Not to wag his finger at us in order to teach us a lesson, but in order that we might be drawn closer to him so that we might look more like him. Well, as I close, one day old Jeremiah was called by God to go down to the potter's house. And as he stood and watched through the window, he saw that the clay had no shape at all. There were just ugly shapes and weird shapes and useless shapes. And yet that clay came to life in the hands of the potter. And as Jeremiah watched, and you heard me read this, he saw that the potter was upset, because that clay that was before him was so lopsided and grossly misshapen. And so Jeremiah wonders, what's the potter going to do? Is he going to get frustrated and just walk away? Is he going to take that clay and get rid of it and throw it away? And the answer is no. Using the very same clay, that potter made a beautiful new vessel. And that's when the light came on over Jeremiah's head. And he said, aha, that is how God is with his people. His hands are always on us. And God's hands on us means that he is involved in all of the intricate details of our lives. God is with us when we're driving down the road to our next meeting. God is with us when we have to send a rather uncomfortable email to someone we know. He's with us at those doctor's appointments, and he's involved in the medicines that we're taking. He's with us when we're wondering, how in the world am I going to come up with the money to pay off those credit card charges after all those Christmas presents I bought? When we're in the hospital, nervously waiting to hear from the doctor how the surgery went, God is there to guide and comfort us. And yes, even on the day that we die, God will be there to meet us and welcome us home. Again, as I close, I want to share something that you might not know, but may be wondering. Would you like to wonder or come up with your own definition as to what a saint is? What's the definition of a saint? It may not be what you think. My working definition is this: a saint is a sinner who spent some time on the potter's wheel. It's as simple as that. Friends, God has his fingerprints all over us, so that whenever we fall or droop or sag, God is always there to press us back into shape. After all, he's the one who made us. He's the one who loves us. And so glory be to God, our potter. Would you join me in prayer? Let us pray. Our gracious God, our potter, today we pray that you would reach your hand down deep inside this clay as you shape us into the vessel of your choosing. Take us off the shelf and use us, and let the image of our Maker be clear for the world to see. And may we surrender ourselves to whatever it is that you have in store for us. We pray for those potters here on earth who shape lives at Chestnut level, like Sunday school teachers, children's ministry volunteers, youth leaders, church officers, parents, grandparents, and those who disciple others into becoming more like Jesus Christ. And Lord, we also pray for each and every heart here in this room and those who are watching online today, for those who need a special touch from you today, for those pots which have been broken in body or in spirit, for those who may need reassurance that they are still of great value to you. God, remind us that as the master craftsman, you can reassemble the most shattered of your treasures, and that when we are broken, we are still one of your unique masterpieces. But most of all, God, fill us with the love of Jesus Christ in all that we do and say. For we pray these things in his name. Amen.